welcome to another edition of Big Brother NSFW. I am Bobby Goodsby, joined as always by the King of Ratings, Brent Wagama. How are you, Brent?
Nice to see you, Bobby. But we have somebody else with us tonight. Who is this?
We do. Alex Rubino is in the house to join us tonight. Alex, tell us about yourself.
I'm just a Big Brother super fan who spends way too much time in my life focusing on the show and all the machinations of strategy, and I'm just really excited to be here.
You fucking love Big Brother, Alex. That's what you that's what you do. Yes, you fucking love Big Brother. I know, just so you guys know, I know Alex from RHAP. I had talked to Alex about coming on the podcast when I was over at RHAP, and now that I'm here, I was like, this is a perfect time to get him on because I control the guest list of who comes on my show. So here we are. Alex is going to talk Big Brother with us, and I'm excited about it. So Alex, whenever you want to jump in, it's all cool. But Bobby, how did you like this episode of... Like, I'm going to say this for real. They pulled every fucking drop they could out of Frenchy Fraudy that was simply possible. They put every drop they could in this episode, bitch. Because I don't... Were the editors aware that there are 13 other house guests in the episode besides French Fry and Brittany? I don't know if I saw anybody else.
We had to get Brent in there.
Huh?
They had to get Brent in there.
They had to.
Being a little creepy to Hannah instead of focusing on her and Derek, which would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, they know what's coming up on down the line for Brent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was definitely the Frenchie episode.
But you don't need to even... Like, he's at least Frenchie, it's like there's a cow you want to milk. Like, there's actually value with it. Brent just gives you nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a waste of damn time.
Him and Brittany, guys. I am so through with Brent and Brittany. Both of them give me absolutely nothing. I said this on Twitter and I stand by it. I know Frenchie is problematic. I know he is full of himself. I know he has delusions of grandeur times 10, anything more than I could ever have in my lifetime. But bitch, I would give anything to have him stay over those two boring ass people who somehow made it in their way into the house. I don't know how you feel.
Then why did every one of your tweets tonight after that be like, Frenchie girl, bye, Frenchie girl, bye?
You know what? Like, because he evokes hate in me. I would rather someone evoke hate in me than somebody who does nothing. I watch Brittany and it's like watching wallpaper dry.
I agree with you. But stop acting like you're happy that he's going then.
I mean, it's like, can't be both. Can't it be both that I'm happy that he's going, but I also kind of want him to stay? Like, I mean, he's a horrible player and he's kind of a horrible person.
I want him out of this house as fast as possible.
I want him here.
I'm so over this.
You just think I'm being hypocritical.
Yes. And I also think the fact that it's week two. Frenchie has given us this much in week two. Give him a couple more weeks. I don't want him in jury. No, but give him to like the end of pre-jury. Let's milk everything we can out of him.
Is it bad that I'm just over it?
I don't blame you. I don't blame you for being over it. I am just a teensy bit worried that we will have a little BB16 effect once Devin goes
I'm
away.
I have to tell you, I must be honest with you. I am a little worried about that. I'm a little worried that we had such a toxic, wild ride for a week and a half with him in the house. That the minute he's gone, it's just like, well, let's get Brent out. Let's get Whitney out. Let's get, you know.
Listen, Brittany, get rid of those two nights. I'll be thrilled. Like, that would be the only time I'd ever enjoy, like, a little pagonging because, God, don't get me started on those people. They're maybe even more misogynistic than he is in some ways. So I'm happy he's going for that reason. But for the entertainment and for just the feed's goal he brings of him being a completely insane player who has no idea what he's doing left from right and I really hope he's doing okay because he must be actually like losing his mind there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Do you think so? Can we stop real quick and like just like address that point? Because I think he's totally fine. I think he came, he conquered, and he gets to declare victory because he hasn't even tried to save himself. He is acting like the martyr on the way out. You saw him in the episode telling Kylan, hey, at least put somebody worthy up against me and maybe I could campaign, i.e. a man. You know that's what he meant. Don't put Brittany up there because I feel like a chump if I'm next to Brittany, for God's sake. So I don't want to have to campaign against her. So he gets to feel like the martyr on the way out the door. So he gets to have his cake and eat it too, which I totally don't want him to have. But he's like in his own head, he is having it. He's like, well, I was HOH. I played big. I was loyal. I got a white alpha meathead out of the house in week one, even though I didn't really want to have anything to do with it and my hands were tied and they basically made me do it, but still I did it And then they got me out week two, and I got to be HOH, and I got to live my dream. Case closed. I think he's totally fine.
Frenchie is the person who we all hate that will never admit they made a mistake in life. He is that person to a T. I think he's going to come out of the house, be on every interview, every tweet of his is going to be him preaching that he knows better than everybody and that, like, oh my God, they should have listened to me on all
this. I'm willing to say this, Alex. I already put out a tweet, and I know it's been tagged with a few people already. Cesternino, Bloom, and Sharon Tharp are the people I'm talking to when I said, if Frenchie comes out of this house and tries to give some BS about, I watched BB21 and I watched minority after minority go home, and I said, I don't want anything. I flipped my tabletop. I was so angry about it. And then, like, need we remind you that you nominated a woman of color and a black man? And the first two nominations you had an opportunity to, and you tried to make sure that Kylan stayed on the block on Sunday night. It was only when Derek X was like, I'm affirmatively using the veto on Kylan, did you finally relent and allow Travis? Because your boy Brent wanted to make sure that Travis didn't get in the way of his showmances, and that's why Travis ultimately ended up on the block. Can we be real about that?
Yes. Oh, and one more thing with that I will not forget with him. He nominates Kylan. Kylan gets the veto used on him. And then the next week, Kylan's like, well, you did say you weren't going to nominate a woman or a person of color, and you nominated me. And he freaking loses it beyond belief. Like, come on.
Just don't
If that's not misogyny, I don't know what is. He doesn't own a damn thing of himself. He is the definition of, I want to be cool. I want to be woke. I want to be like the Rob G. Dot artist that Twitter loves. He basically, I think, wants to be Janelle in terms of that, but doesn't have a freaking clue of how to play the game. He doesn't know what up is, what's up and what's down. But he also thinks he's the greatest player of all time. And yeah, I can't with him.
I think that Bodger Collin got it right. Frenchie is in denial. Like, he is in denial. He's never going to accept the fact that he is in the wrong at all. He's going to think that he did everything 100% according to his plan, and that when he went out on his own terms. 100%, that's how he's going to come out of the house. Yes. He will never admit to that.
Oh, 100%. And that's where I can say maybe I think he has, like, he's losing it a little bit. I obviously am not a mental health professional, not my place to say it, but he can't be this.
You don't have to be that politically correct.
He can't be this ridiculous. He can't be this ridiculous in real life. Yes. He really can't.
Yes.
If he's this ridiculous in life, I don't know how the hell he can stand on his own 2 feet.
Yes. When we say people are losing it and they're going crazy, like, we're not talking about their fucking mental health, people. We're just like, we're talking about people on a goddamn reality TV show that we're watching on goddamn TV. It's not that big of a deal. So you don't have to qualify everything like you do over at my old place of employment. You can just say what you want here, Alex, and literally no one fucking cares because this is reality NSFW, okay? All right.
Let's fucking go.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into the episode, guys. First, Brent, there was something we want to share with everybody.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I totally lost it in my ranting about everything. So I'm not really big into t-shirts. Fair Play is, like, heavy into t-shirts. Like, he lives for his t-shirts. When I was hired here, he sent me a t-shirt with my own fucking name on it in rainbow colors, for God's sake. I think it was the one I picked.
I didn't get a shirt.
He gave me, like, 5 choice. I know, right? Fair Play, send Bobby a shirt, for heaven's sake.
What the hell, Fair Play?
And send me one too. Come on. Right?
No. But rather than a shirt for yourself, this is the t-shirt that you need to buy. So he sent me 2 t-shirts, one of which I am personally a big fan of. It is t-shirts for the short but sweet, long-lived, much-loved French Kisses Alliance that we all love to make fun of.
Here, I'll pull up right Frenchie here.
We're going to show you a picture with Frenchie's eyes crossed out. And then a t-shirt for the cookout, all in silhouette form, all of them completely recognizable. I would wear that t-shirt in a heartbeat. I would literally buy it today. If I wasn't on this podcast doing this with you, I would probably buy it myself. And I can only tap dance so much, Bobby. Where is this t-shirt? There we go.
There it is. Sorry. The computer wasn't working, but there we go.
Yes. The one on the right is the Cookout Alliance. And I fucking love that because you can see Tiffany there a second. You can see Xavier in the middle. You see Azza there. fourth. You see Big D on the right. Like, I mean, like, you know who all these people are in silhouette form. And it's not even just because of their hair. It's because we know what their bodies look like. And it fits them to a T. I love that T-shirt. And like I said, I don't hawk stuff normally for Fair Play. But this shit is good. If you wanna buy this T-shirt or the other one on the left, you can find it at johnnyfairplay.com. That's J-O-N-N-Y, fairplay.com. And pick out what you want. All right?
All right.
So all right.
Let me get back to there. There we go. Okay, so I didn't go through the matrix this time having to stop the share play. Right. So there we go. All right, guys. So that's the T-shirts. Definitely check those out. They are awesome T-shirts. We're excited to have them as part of the products here at NSFW. Now, let's get into the episode. So we start off the episode where my notes are a little behind. There we go. The Joker's meeting ensues where Frenchie talks to Brittany and the other Jokers about how she is safe and he is willing to use the veto on her if he wins the veto. How much of this was BS, Brent?
100% BS. Mm-hmm. 100% BS. I'm glad Kylan was in the diary room to confirm that it was absolute utter horseshit. It was not true. He was saying it in the advent that he didn't win the veto, which he didn't. He could say, well, I was going to use the veto on her the entire time. Like, I was going to be chivalrous about it. I was going to use the veto on her because I care that much. I'm that loyal of a person, Alex. When I say ride or die, I am ride or die. So it allows him, again, to go with this fucking fantasy of his, that he's loyal, that he can't go against his morals. Later on in the episode, we're going to hear him talking to Oz about this. He couldn't go against his morals. He's not a backstabby kind of person. Does he not remember what he's like? Or it's like, but the thing is, I don't believe he's gaming to Azza when he's having this conversation. I know I'm mixing two conversations, but it's the same thing. I don't believe he's gaming to Azza when he's having this conversation. I think he's literally delusional that he thinks he was not a backstabby, disloyal kind of person. Yeah. Yes?
Yes. Can I posit one thing on that?
Yes.
Had he won the veto, would he have, was anything he was saying there true? No, I don't think it was for a second. But if he won the veto, boy, would I think he'd be going crazy of trying to make every move in the book. And maybe he would use it on Brittany, what he thinks is the greatest move ever that'll save him, that'll keep him safe. Like, oh my God, I am incredible. He'll think he'd be like Jedson from BB Can 9, but like even better. Then he'll be the martyr. And then he thinks he'll stay and he'll just get voted
well,
out.
Well, I think what would happen was he would have quickly discerned that because he said that to her with the thinking that, oh, I've got the votes to say because I got this alliance. Like, I got people to back me up. Like, even if it isn't Triss, he's got people on his side where she has no one. Whereas if he talked to people a little bit more, like from Saturday till Monday, he would have figured out, oh, bitch, I'm the target. I can't use the veto on you. I know I said I would, but I can't. Brittany, I'm sorry. I got to use it on me.
You're giving him too much credit, I think. You're giving him too much credit for being that good at the game that he would know to use the veto on himself. I'm past that point with him.
Really?
Right. Even Heather says he cares so much about Brittany that he formed two alliances without her. Like, seriously, he doesn't care.
Such a gentleman. Such a freaking gentleman.
Yeah, he's so lost in his own delusions that I think he even believes himself when he says that.
Oh, he does. He has to believe himself.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'm just saying he thinks he's like he's like the newest invention since sliced bread. He is God on earth. He's the Pope. He's everything rolled into one.
Yeah.
And everybody should be just so lucky that he is here.
Listen,
gracing us with his presence.
Yep.
Bitch, I'm saying that again. I think he's totally fine. We have gone, 17 minutes into this podcast and it's been 90% about Frenchie. Again, I feel like he came, he conquered, he's leaving. Like that just tells you all you need to know about him.
Yeah. I do think it's going to hurt him though, going out week two. I really think like deep down it's high
school. Well, yeah, I saw him.
I had all these plans. I thought I knew everything about my brother and I went out week two. He's not going to blame himself for it.
No,
he's going to say it was a victim of circumstance, luck, everything else in the world.
Did you see him today? Today he was blaming the meatheads. If they hadn't placed me in here with these five meatheads, man, I was running the house. I knew
every season there would have been seven meatheads. What the fuck are you talking about?
All he had to do was not be himself and be his crazy personality. All he had to do was play it cool, do an easy week one, get people out, form an alliance, and then just stay under the radar. But no, he had to go around every corner being like, you talking about me? Are you talking about me? They're talking about me. Who else? You know, like, he was just way too paranoid to ever last in this house. No one wants to work with that.
And he's so much, like, that's the thing. Thank you for pointing that out, Bobby. there is value into having a target. And the things he said to Derek X and Kylan were certainly true. Again, I know I'm jumping ahead, but I do that a lot. Whatever. I've done it my whole fucking career podcasting. You know what? He made a valiant point where it was like, you know what? I'm a bigger target than you. And if I'm on the block next to you, I would probably go home. So why in the world wouldn't you keep me in the house? But the key to the argument is you have to be predictable.
Yeah.
People have to at least believe some, like you can be even a little bit of a wild player. Like maybe I wasn't sequester, but you have to be able to keep your head on straight some of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think he's shown an incapability to be able to do that.
Oh, he's completely incapable.
Yeah.
If anybody trusts a word Frenchie says, I would write them off as a winner contender right now. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. So next we have the Kings. They're talking about how they're happy with Kylan's choices. They think that it's a great nomination. Kylan's making the move that they were all hoping for him to do. And honestly, this is a great spot for Kylan. Like, he had a couple of decisions. Does he stick with the strong alliance that he had already been a part of that really wasn't working too much with him? I mean, you saw Frenchie put him on the block last week. A lot of people watching the feeds were worried he was just going to stick with the safe, you know, route. And then he ended up going the route that everyone was hoping for him to do and chose to nominate Frenchie and backstab that alliance and go with his new alliance that everyone was backing. So this is a huge move for Kylan. Yes. Yeah, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just think, well, I know you're talking about the Queens here, but Claire and Tiffany, I have to give so much credit to them pumping up Kylan, like just stroking every bit. I know he doesn't have like the biggest ego in the world, but they're just like stroking it. Oh my God, Kylan, you're perfect. You're amazing. Oh my. And I'm just like, these two are unbelievable. I just love every single chance they get.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff. They're playing the game so hard every second. And I love it.
I was talking on Twitter about this, and you know, I have to say, I kind of overthought this one. And at first I was like, you know what? There are bigger targets in the house. People who are far better game players for Kylan to go after than Frenchie. Like Frenchie, like just like leave him be. I'm going to wait, Alex, let me finish my point. So, and you can interrupt me whenever you want, but I got a point to finish. So like that I understand. But the thing about it is like Kylan is the kind of HOH where we talk about he's the kind of HOH where you win, you target the house mascot, the guy that everybody's shooting at. You do it, you get it cleanly done, and then you fade back into the background. I feel like that's much better for him, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to target Frenchie. It's going to be an 11-1 or 12-1, 12-0 vote tomorrow, and then no one's going to remember Kylan for a little while because he did what the house won. If he made a stronger move here and went after Brent or you know Whitney or somebody I would prefer him go after, I think that the waves in the house would be so great and it would disrupt so much. And Kylan would essentially be drawing a line in the sand with some people in the house. And I think it would be a very bad play for him. So I do think this was the correct play for him. Yeah. And I was eventually persuaded of that.
Yeah. Like you could make a little bit of an argument that maybe he like wants to use almost Frenchie as like a meat shield for when he's not HOH, but he's playing this week as well as he can. Thanks. In large part, I have to say to Claire and Tiffany, I think.
Yeah.
Where he's just easily going to be able to fade the background. I also think this really reminds me of 16 because obviously he's nowhere near Derek Lavasser, but being in that position of taking out the big, big target, being the one to make that move is like, oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for doing it.
He
was the first one who had the shot to do it and he did it and he succeeded and he's going to get him out. And he has to really screw this up to at least not make jury in my opinion.
Right. It's like it's the best 100%. Of both worlds because he gets a target. Everybody wants out. Everybody agrees with these nominations. They love these nominations. He didn't have to make a third nomination because the veto wasn't used. Mm-hmm. And nobody remembers it very much. And like later on in the game, they're going to remember a little bit. You know what? He did get Frenchie out of the game. He did have that HOH in week two. So he has a little bit on his resume. But there's really no blood there. It's just a kill, and he got it.
Honestly, this is one of the most clean cut second week boots that I've seen in a very long time.
To week one, oh my God!
Yeah, yes. This is the best HOH possible for anyone I've seen in a very long time. Where really no blood on your hands, and it gets you by with a lot of good graces going forward. Where a lot of people want to work with you, a lot of alliances were formed, and now you're centered yourself so deeply into this house that really nothing can touch him. I think it was the best case scenario for Kylan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So next, let's get into it. Frenchie goes to tell Kylan that he knows he is the target, but to tell Brittany that she's safe no matter what, that he needs to go and talk to Brittany.
Martyr, 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 martyr.
I wrote the words martyr right here. I wrote the words martyr.
Martyr. Total fucking martyr. It's not about me. It's about Brittany. So let's think about Brittany here, Kylan. Make sure you tell her that she's safe. Same thing. I'm so glad Azza gave him the fucking hand when he tried to come in there and give Brittany a goddamn hug, because he wanted it to be about him. He wanted to say, look, it's not about you. I'm the target. And if I win the veto, I'll use it on you. He wanted to say all that in front of everybody. Azza was like, no, bitch, shut the fuck up. I'm going to give her a hug. And I was like, so here for it. Of course, the bitch still had to stand there and wait for the hug to be over and then said everything I just said anyway. So we still had to hear it anyway. But at least Azza denied him for at least a moment or two in that moment. And I bless her for it.
Yeah. Alex, anything you want to add to that?
Really, just anybody that makes Frenchie's life a little bit harder, I start loving them. That's really all
right.
I got.
I was like, that was so good. That was so good.
All right. So next we get this real sweet, you know, endearing part of the episode where Brent teaches Hannah how to speak like him in his dialect. Let's all break this down to how emotionally deep this conversation was.
Bobby, I know you're joking, but using the word endearing for that conversation is just a goddamn insult. Are you kidding me? What is it with Brent that makes them say, oh, we need to show this guy on screen? What is it about him? He is the most plain, boring white guy that there is in this game. What is it? And he's freaking creepy. He's like flirting with every woman in the house who doesn't want to freaking talk to him. Nevertheless, freaking date him. Like,
I feel like his accent is even that strong.
It's not.
No, it's not. It's not strong at all. Good on Hannah for playing into his bullshit. Yeah. But we have a relationship between Hannah and Derek X that is like budding at the seams, and that is so sweet and loving and like genuine and like consensual. And no, we have to show our like 20-something-year-old boring white guy who likes his shirt off all the time because Allison Grodner's still a producer.
I don't know. God damn. Like, I mean, I here's the thing. I wouldn't mind his delusions and his total lack of character sometimes if he was giving me something in the house, but he's not. He's pretty fucking boring. Like, there's really nothing there. I'm like, I know he's like, he's got a great body. Great. Thank you for taking your shirt off. But there had to be something more besides that and a goddamn accent to put him in the house, or was that it, Bobby? Was that
it? He's a flight attendant that can do back handsprings or whatever the hell it was.
It was literally just the looks. It was, oh, take your shirt. You're in the house. All right, fine.
All right.
Why did we waste time on this?
He's one of those casting choices that I just shake my head because we talked about it last week, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this is exactly what we talked about, how there's so many people that would give up their pinky finger to be in that house that would be very, very entertaining and probably great for the game. And we get like this. Exactly, Brent. So it's just so irritating, and it's so I don't understand it. I don't know. It's beyond me.
Why does the show just insist on making Brent look like the strategic mastermind? I don't get that. Last week, I want to save Derek X. No, you didn't want to save Derek X.
No, you didn't.
Come on.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. And then this week, he was on board with the whole Frenchie, you know.
He was on board from the first minute. Like, oh, yeah, no, Frenchie was never my friend.
Lies.
What? It's crazy. I don't understand it. But it is what it is. We get what we get out of him. So hopefully that'll be, revolving door.
My read on it is the editors see the writing on the wall. They have to get a little Brent content in here because they know he's going to be on the block next week. And that's what's going to happen.
So let's move on from Brent, because clearly we're all exhausted of him. Jokers discuss the noms. Brent ends up telling Frenchie why she is nominated, that she was the only one to go to bat for him, and that everyone else was throwing him under the bus. So this makes Frenchie want to go reveal everything, with Derek F. right there in the room being a part of that conversation, trying to act asleep. Guys, let's break this down.
I mean, That was kind of funny, I have to say. And also when Frenchie tells us, like, well, I made sure that I didn't say Derek F or Big D because, like, you know, he's my ride or die, my final two, and I love him. And I also didn't say Xavier because I feel like I can work with him a little bit. But everybody else, yeah, I threw under the bus, which he has decided that. And then the best part was when he went in and Derek F is right there and he's talking about the slaughterhouse, pretending I'm sorry. I'm not even awake right now. Are you looking at me? Like, that was some good shit.
Can I go back one conversation before that with Derek F, Frenchie, and Brent there? And it's just this confessional from Frenchie that makes no sense, but saying, my cheeks are getting redder than a turkey on Thanksgiving that's about to get its head chopped off. Like, what stupid stuff are they making him say again and again? Every single thing has to relate to farming.
I think that's the only thing that's, again, I'm very torn about this, Alex. I want him to stay, but I'm also really glad he's leaving because I don't want to hear any goddamn farm references in the diary room anymore that are so fucking convoluted they don't make sense. Like, when he starts talking about it, I'm madder than a hen, I'm wetter than a bum, 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 bum. Shut the fuck up. I don't care.
Your cheeks are getting redder than a turkey on Thanksgiving. What?
I used to, you know, be a farmer back in the day, and that is such a crack.
Yes, but you have more of a personality than that. There is some aspect to your personality. It's not being a farmer. And maybe Frenchie should just go stay on the farm for crying out loud.
So
stay there
crazy.
And never leave. Go into your crops so freaking deep, sit in the cornfield and never come back, please.
It is amazing to me that this guy was on the streets with us on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, he was in the Big Brother streets with us. He watched the show, knows what to look for, understands overplaying. I mean, you know.
This
you
was a
like
guy that
think.
Was liking comments and backing up everything that people were saying, but secretly inside being like, I don't agree with this, but I'm trying
you.
To be politically correct.
Yes, give me. Go ahead, Alex, then I got something to say.
All I know is he knows what people like on Twitter. That's all he knows. He doesn't know a damn thing about the game. He doesn't know a damn thing about the feeds. He doesn't know a damn thing about how to be a decent person. None of it.
Yes.
So I've heard Frenchie say this a lot. The thing about, like, you know, I care about minorities and women, and I want to make sure that a minority didn't go home. Like, here's the thing. We've already beat it with the dead horse, what he did, who he nominated, all that, and what he tried to do with Kylan. Fine. Okay. I am also a white man. And I say the same things that Frenchie says sometimes. Like, you know what? I care about minorities. I care about women. I want to make sure that Black Lives Matter. But a friend of mine said to me, we were having a mutual friend disagreement, and this friend said to me, Brent, what have you actually done for Black Lives? And I was like, not much. Like, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, I like to think that I am somebody who gives a shit and who says Black Lives Matter and wants to protect minorities and lift up underprivileged people and minorities around me. But as far as, like, actually doing something, I had to take a hard look at myself and go, not a lot. Yeah. And that's where I feel like Frenchie doesn't get it, because I have a little bit of empathy for him because I get it. But it took someone to point it out to me and say, you know what? You say that you care, but what have you actually done? Okay. Yeah. And there's something more to it than just saying, you know what? I support Black Lives Matter. What have you done to support it? What have you been out there? Have you been marching? Have you been doing things? Have you been organizing? Have you been campaigning? And I was like, damn. And so that really challenged me to do better in my life, to do something. But when Frenchie had the chance to do something, he did squadoosh. He did absolutely nothing. He can say until the cows come home, I support Black Lives Matter. I wanted to support minorities in the Big Brother house, blah, blah, blah. But bitch, it is not true if you don't do. You do or you don't mean it. Period.
It's more than just liking a post. It's more than just retweeting. It's more than just saying, hey, I stand for this, but doing nothing. It's about going in, you know, joining hand in hand and helping out a cause that you feel very strongly about. And if Frenchie actually feels that way and actually has it in his heart that he felt that way, he wouldn't have made the moves he did last week. Because guess what? if he really felt strongly about it, his game wouldn't have mattered compared to what he was fighting for. And he didn't do that, and he ran with it the way he did, and it really showed to the rest of the audience that this is who he is, this is what he is, and he's just one of those people that's a keyboard warrior that's just going to say, oh yeah, I believe in this, but really doesn't actually take the effort and go the extra mile to give what he should to the cause. Plain and simple.
I completely agree with you both on that. You're saying everything right. One more thing. If he wants to actually learn maybe what like minorities want to see happen, like maybe talk to some of them. Ask them, hey, how can I help you? How can I be a better ally? He won't even do that.
I know.
There are so many incredible, incredible people in the house alone that he could talk to and have like honest conversations with. And be like, all right, how can I help? Here's what I think I'm doing that's right, but how can I actually help?
He just gets so defensive. No. Like when Kylan brought it up about who we nominated, he just gets so defensive. And here's the thing. This isn't really about Frenchie. Honestly, this is about every other white man out there, gay or straight, who is listening to this right now, who's honestly a little bit like Frenchie and a little bit like me. It's like, yeah, you retweet this shit, you say the right shit, you come on the podcast and say this shit, but bitch, what have you fucking done? Okay? If you haven't done anything, shut the fuck up and do something. Okay? That's where I'm coming from.
No, yeah, and it really makes all, you know, myself included, but just what you were saying, like, what have I done recently to stand up for what I believe in? And, you know, I haven't done much, and I am right there with you, Brent. I don't feel like I do enough. But it's one thing about preaching it and admitting to yourself when you really haven't done the extra mile that you feel like you should. And I feel like Frenchie will never be the type to admit that he is in the wrong and that he didn't stand up for what he believed in.
Yeah, I concur.
All right, so let's move on from that. Definitely something to talk about though outside of this house, because he's definitely going to have to be answering some questions about that.
Yeah, wait to hear the answers.
So Frenchie goes around, shares the slaughterhouse with everyone, leaves X and Big D, like you were saying, Brent, out of the conversation. Next, we see Tiffany and Claire telling Kylan about this conversation, about him telling them about the slaughterhouse, and Claire, you know, really brought up a good point that I honestly think helps a lot of these people associated with the slaughterhouse, is that, you know, she was a part of the French Kisses too, but she didn't believe in that alliance. So these people probably didn't believe in that alliance either. It was probably all in Frenchie's head that this was a thing. And that's honestly the best case scenario for the slaughterhouse at this point.
That it honestly is. Let me just say to y'all, though, I know we're all laughing at the slaughterhouse right now, but bitch, we dodged a bullet. If Kylan's ball doesn't go in that fucking shark mouth it did, we've got a Brent HOH and Slaughterhouse has solidified and it's going strong. I swear to God, that's where this season would be headed. But instead, we got just like last season, we didn't get a lucky break last season. This season, bitch, we got a lucky break. And somehow, some way, that big old fat alliance of mostly people that we dislike is going to be completely obliterated after week two, and we're not going to have to deal with them anymore. But it was that close. I watched that replay again. It was close.
Thank God Brent did not win that. God Brent did not win that veto. We would probably be watching like Derek X like maybe going home if he doesn't win the veto again. And we're just like, what? And he has no footing in the game.
Yeah, it could have been so bad. It could have been so bad. And real quick, I know we just got done with this topic, but I think this is such a great comment from Lady J. Brent, you do a lot by drawing attention to the issues and perspectives of people of color in BB. I loved how you explained the whole Tyler Bailey dynamic that people just were not getting. So I agree with her. I think that you do more than you think, but I agree with you also that we could do more. So I know we're past that, but I thought that was a really, really nice and beautiful comment.
Thank you. I appreciate that, lady. How do I want to say it? I do the best I can as a white man. I'll just say it like that. Like I feel like I do not have experiences that people of color and black people have had. I do not have those same experiences. So I only have so much insight that I can share that I feel like is worth it, you know, diddly squat. But what I do have to share and the way I do have to look at it, I'm thankful that there are some people out there that get something out of it.
Good. All right.
We can always do more.
Yeah, we could always do more. So this is where my computer lagged a little bit, so I'm going to let you guys take the lead on this. What happened next? You guys were telling me a little bit.
This is the Tiffany impersonation of Frenchie, which I think was actually pretty good, Alex. You were loving it.
Oh my god, it's just beautiful. It's coming from Tiffany of all people.
Yeah, I know,
who's
right?
Just playing an incredible game, and then on top of it, she's able to have this sense of humor of just like, oh my god, this guy's an idiot, and I'm getting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
right,
it is everything I want, and she's like twisting the knife in a little.
So great. I will also say this. I think it was Chantel who said it on the roundtable for RHAP on Tuesday night. She said something to the effect of, Tiffany is playing the kind of game that we like to watch. And I just think that that is so true about her. Like, I feel like 98, 99% of the people out there who love Big Brother, who are in the Twitter streets with you and me, I feel like love Tiffany. And we're all like kind of waiting with, you know, like with bated breath, like, you know, like, is she gonna fall? Can she keep it up? Yeah, is there somebody onto her? Maybe it's too good to be true. She's playing, mm-hmm. You know, she's got a lot of things working, and it's only week two, but still, it's so great to see. And I just love to watch it. And she's such a fan of the show. It's so weird because, like, Derek X is a total recruit and he's not a fan of the show, like, but he's picking it up pretty fast, and I find myself kind of enamored with him. Yet Tiffany is on the other total end of the spectrum. She's a total fan of the show. She knows who Dan is, she knows who these people are, and she's a fan, and you love her too, and you like, you're so happy that she gets the chance to play this game and doing everything that she always wanted to do.
And I think what's so special about Tiffany is that she's playing that game that everybody's universally praising. It's the game we want to see, and she's playing it so well, and she's so well liked. She manages to do that, and I don't think really anybody, at least in recent memory that I can think of, was able to do that, play an unbelievable game and be unbelievable feeds gold in terms of entertainment. And I also just want to give her the credit of, she's the oldest person in this house by far.
Yep.
And a woman of color. And she's freaking killing it. Nobody is coming after her. She's playing an unbelievable game with every hardship she had going into the game. And it is just incredible to watch.
Yeah, I think it was I'm sorry, I still listen to a lot of RHAP, but I think it was Asia was talking about how you know, Tiffany, she does a lot of hair in the house.
Oh my god, I was gonna go there next.
Yeah, you'll sit there and like spill your secrets to somebody who like, you know, does your hair. Like, that's just a great bonding experience, and it's honestly something that I would never have considered that before. But it's so true. Like, you just sit there and talk, and you feel like you know each other, and you're a little more intimate than normal. Well, she's massaging your scalp and touching it. Like, yeah, totally true. I love that.
And also, I think the fact that if you're letting somebody, like, do your hair, you're giving them, like, basically control of a huge part of your body.
Right.
You need trust to be there. And when you're there, you're just like, you're letting everything go.
Right.
You're letting Tiffany be your therapist. Yes. And it is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
How they are all falling for it.
So can I just tell you that so my boyfriend of 6 months, he cuts his own hair because he like has a really, really short haircut. Like, and he's like constantly trying to save money. He's just one of these people. He loves to save money. He said to me a week and a half ago, because I was complaining about my hair being too long, he goes, you know, I can cut it for you.
How did you feel about that?
Honey, like, you know, I love you and all, but I'm going to pay the $25 for this one. Like, you know, like that's cool. And then like I said it, like I think I complained about it 2 days later, like right before my haircut. He's like, I can cut it for you. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
he's Jerry, and then he said the thing that you never want to hear from a barber. Well, it'll grow back. And I'm like, that is not inspiring confidence in me. Stop it.
During the pandemic, my fiance, there was nowhere to cut her hair, and I hadn't got my hair cut prior to being on lockdown. Right. So I was like,
me too.
Oh shit. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna have to do something. And my fiance ended up cutting my hair. And let's just say, you don't want to tell a 6 month pregnant woman that she is not doing a great job with your hair. Okay, I made that mistake. And luckily, this isn't it now, but I had to wear a hat for about 3 weeks after that because she's like, oh, really?
And you were still engaged. And you were still engaged after that. So must have an incredible
Never again. So all those guys out there, just always say the right thing. No matter what it looks like, say, it looks amazing, honey.
Right? Yes. Exactly. If I would have let him cut it, I would have said that. But God, I didn't. Yeah, Yes. Yeah, anyway, no. Moving on. Yes, Tiffany, great job. Love you bonding with people over the hair. Never something I would have noticed, but that's so fucking cool.
Tiffany, yeah. Tiffany's been great in this house. She's been absolutely more than I ever thought she would be. I was one of those people, I thought she wouldn't make connections because she was older. I thought because she was a woman of color, that might also play a factor, which we'd hate to see, but it's honestly the truth. Going into a house like this, that's always been a thing, especially for the older women. And right. I love how she has really captivated this house, especially by doing the things that you guys have said. I'm just enamored with her, and we haven't seen a player like her in a very long time.
Did you notice that some of her braids, like toward the bottom, came a little fuzzy, and so she undid some of them, but she's afraid, she didn't want to like redo the whole thing because she's afraid they're gonna call her into the diary room in the middle of her like braiding her entire hair. So she's just like redoing like one or two at a time, so that over like 5 or 6 days, so that she can eventually get it all done. I just love that about her.
I think what you can maybe say about Tiffany's game, what she's doing, so she's connecting with every single person individually and talking and doing whatever they want with them that'll get them closer. Like Christian, it's like playing with his hair. Claire, it's just like talking about strategy for like 10 hours. It's amazing. She's doing everything you want, whether she likes the person or hates the person. How the hell she's even managing to get along with Frenchie is beyond me, and I have to give her so much credit for that.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's unbelievable. And my only worry is I don't know if she can keep this up. Like, this is so damn good.
I mean, I've said that about
so many people. I've said that about Derek.
Yeah. I know. Here's
never the
anybody
difference.
Like her.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Can I just kind of, listen, she's playing on Blue, and that's not my reason. I think these players are much more savvy than the people in 16. Mm-hmm. That is the only reason I can say that I'm worried about her.
Yes.
At some point, Claire has to have a red flag up of like, oh my God, I need to get her out. This woman's amazing.
But she's doing the best thing, which is keeping, I think, her biggest competition as close as possible.
Oh, absolutely. It is unbelievable. It is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to watch. And honestly, I haven't said this since probably Derek in Big Brother 16. I could see her winning it all already. Like I said that early on in season 16. I was like, this guy's going to win. Like there's no one even close to her or to him in this house. And he's just dominating. And he went on and dominated. I'm starting to feel that way about Tiffany. I agree with you. I think this cast is definitely a heads and shoulders above 16. But I still think she's playing right there where Derek was playing. Yes.
And I also, one more thing that I just really hope is not the case at the end of the game is that she doesn't get like the typical, whenever you have like a mom in like the final two or three of Survivor, oh my God, you were like a mother to me and you betrayed me. I don't think we're going to get that with this group. I think this group is better than that, but that's another concern I have. And it's another obstacle she's going to have to overcome.
That is a concern.
And I think she's that good that she can overcome it, but it's just, how does she overcome that?
Yeah, because you're right about that. The mom has always seemingly gotten that I can think of. I mean, I think like Denise, what was Denise? Yeah, Denise on Survivor.
Denise got it a little bit, but yes, you know, she had a daughter, but she was up against Lisa Welcher, who got it worse than her, and Michael Scoopin, who was Michael Scoopin.
I'm just trying to think of any woman who was a mom who didn't get it so bad. But yeah, like, I mean, that's usually what happens.
Tina Wesson maybe didn't get it too bad. That's really it.
Like, you know what? Tiffany is 40, but she looks like 30. So I'm hoping that thing.
But she's got the life experience.
That's true. And she's a mom, but yeah.
Okay. She's playing it well. She's doing
it. We're not going to manifest that, Alex. We're moving on.
Let's move this along a little bit. We're already at almost an hour in and we haven't got to the first break. It's all good. It's all good. We've picked the players for the veto competition. Derek X, Alyssa, and Claire were chosen for the veto competition. Before we get into the veto competition, let's get into our sponsors, the first break, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
All right.
Zach, back in the day, I used to love watching professional wrestling every Saturday morning after my cartoons. And whenever I did, my favorite part was enjoying cereal with it because cereal was cool. But of course, growing up, cereal being the best part as a kid, I had to give it up. Why? Because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't really eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, hey, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring, and Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff.
I am hooked on Magic Spoon too. This stuff has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. We're only talking about 140 calories in a serving. Plus, it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Now you can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. I am absolutely hooked on Magic Spoon. Like I said, my favorite is to blend some of those flavors. I like to mix up my cocoa with my frosted. That is some sugary deliciousness that I can't resist in the morning. Johnny, what's your favorite?
Oh, I'm mixing the cocoa with the peanut butter, and I'm doing a peanut butter cup action. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good stuff. And if you want to join us in eating some Magic Spoon, just go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, guys, we are back. And before we get to the veto competition, we do forget one little detail. Alex, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah. So right before the veto draw, we have Christian and Xavier pranking Alyssa by wrapping her in toilet paper for her birthday, which first I'm just like, all right, this is just a boring filler segment. And it kind of was to an extent. But then we have them walking her out to like kind of show everybody. And they're stopped by Kylan and Sarah Beth, who are just like, hey, can we have a serious game talk conversation about what you would do with the veto? And Alyssa is just not here for it at all.
Yes, it was just so funny because like she's trying to have a serious game talk, Alex, while she's standing there completely wrapped in toilet paper, standing with fucking Christian, and Kylan's like, I'm sorry, I know you guys are doing something, but can we talk real quick? Yeah. Because we need to.
And I think it's why I love Kylan in some movies, that I feel like he doesn't understand every social cue just yet. And it's like, I think there's so much potential with him, and I think he's such a likable guy, but it's like, oh, you're almost there.
Yes, you're almost there. You know what? He's almost there, but I'll say this. I said this in the chat when we were on break. The people are asking me, who's the biggest threat to Tiffany? I'm sorry, bitch. It's Kylan. Mm-hmm. Kylan right now is the biggest threat to Tiffany because he has some ideas of his own. He's a fan of the show. And bitch, he is obsessed. This is not in the episode. Maybe it'll be in the episode tomorrow. He is obsessed with the hinky vote. And
oh, he
Tiffany
is.
Yes. was the hinky vote on Frenchie's orders when he was HOH. She did the hinky vote to show Frenchie that she was loyal, that she was a team player, not knowing how things are going to play out. And then she has denied it to Kylan, and she has accused other people of being the hinky vote. So if this comes out and Kylan is hoping that Frenchie, because Frenchie said, I know who the hinky votes were, but I'm not telling. If Frenchie lets Kylan know who the hinky votes were and Kylan believes him, that could cause a schism between Tiffany and Kylan that cannot be repaired.
That's my biggest worry for Tiffany, honestly, because we've got one more day. We've got one more day of Frenchie being in this house. And when he's a dead man walking, he's got literally nothing to lose. Now, the only thing Tiffany has going for her, if he does reveal this information, is the fact that no one believes anything Frenchie says anymore anyways. So
just deny it. Deny it. Be like, absolutely. Look at the source.
And like, that's all she has to do.
I would never do that. Are you kidding? I would have told you. Come on, Kylan. Like, yes, you have to be firm with your lie, bitch.
Yes.
Oh my. And also, like, you would really believe Frenchie. You would really believe Frenchie of anything he says.
Yep. He's just trying to do what he has to do to stay in the house.
Listen, if I'm Tiffany, I'm almost like, you know what? Like, tell the truth. Say it. Say I cast a hinky vote. No one will believe you. Mm-hmm. Nobody will be, and I am like the last person people will suspect of it. Like, it couldn't have been Tiffany. Frenchie said she did it.
Okay. Veto competition.
Veto happens. Yes. All right. So let's get into this veto. So first off, we have a suntan lotion competition where one by one, the house guests go outside where they have to gather enough suntan lotion to put into their tube and pull out the key or whatever it was that was inside there. We see these kind of competitions every single year on BB. You know, the tube competition where you have to pull out the key, pull out the cherry, whatever it is. What did you guys think of the competition?
Loved it. I was shocked that we had a timed competition in week two where they were separated from each other. Usually we get these much later on in the season. But it's like everything I said about the veto competition last week. I like it when you have a competition where you as the audience can watch. There is a learning curve to it. Now, the one caveat I will say as opposed to last week is that like they never gave us like a wide shot of all of the suntan lotion. So I didn't know who the fuck was going to squirt what, when and where and how much, which I like to know that at my suntan parties and myself. And they wouldn't show us that. So I didn't know where the stuff was going to come from. You know what I'm saying, Alex?
Yeah, and they also, I don't think, did a very good job of showing you who was doing well and who wasn't, because it was like, all right, Brittany's taking longer. They do a good amount of count, and then I'm like, all right, we're just going to breeze through Claire. We're going to breeze through Derek. We're going to breeze through Alyssa. We're going to breeze through...
Yeah.
Like, it's like, at that point, it's like, I'm just watching them slip and fall for a couple minutes, looking like... And I'm not watching anything. That is just like, all right, let's get the competition over, which... Frankly, I don't mind because I don't think the competitions are that important. There's so much to show. But then why are we wasting so much time at the beginning explaining how this damn thing works? Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. And it's also like, we want to do the slip and slide. Now, I always enjoy the HOH slip and slide on the feeds. It just goes all night. I know it's not the most balanced or fair thing in the world. And I'm happy that they did that here. That's the most important thing of having comps that everybody can win. But this was just... I don't know. Not edited well, in my opinion.
It was not edited well. That was the issue. It wasn't edited well. I will say also.
It was edited horribly.
Yeah. This is reality NSFW. I'll just keep it real with you all. As I said on Twitter, I did not need to see that slow-mo falling replay of Brittany with her legs open. No, I'm sorry. No, I did not need to see that.
I was trying to get it over under if she was going to break a leg or not, because we're going into the season, she's already broke her leg 35,000 times, so I thought for sure this was the episode that's going to happen.
I'm so tired of hearing about her fucking black belt. I only hear about her black belt. It's so relevant. What, are you going to hit somebody in the house?
Oh man, fucking I thought idiot. She was going to after she was nominated.
Yes. So I was like noticing like certain people, like Claire, for example, saying like, she's like, I want to do something, but I don't want to win because like she's safe and there's no need to win. Can we talk about Derek X for a minute? I really don't think he needed to win this.
No.
I get there's a little bit of a benefit of like you're in an alliance now, you want to show your value, but I think there is so much more you can gain from winning an HOH than there is winning a veto you do not need to do right after you won the first one. Because I almost feel like you're a bigger comp threat if you're like the veto king than like the HOH king or just normal comp king. The way when people can brand you, I think it's a stupid thing. People, it's always every season, the veto king. That is the person who gets branded immediately. You have that, you can't shake it. No matter if you lose the next 10.
I hear you. But he is so far on the outs of the house. I mean, wait, let me finish. And then, and you heard him say in the diary room, this is why I'm giving him a pass on this. He did not say he felt 100%. He said, I felt 99.5% safe. So he knew in the back of his head, he's like, if Frenchie wins the veto, who are they going to put up as a pawn? I knew I could have been put up last week. Could it be me this week? I don't have a ton of allies in the house. Yes, I've been making strides, but could they use me as a pawn? Yeah. I mean, if you know what, I would rather him win the veto and be safe in his own mind rather than if he thinks he's not safe, don't take the chance and lose it and potentially walk out the door on Thursday night. I'm sorry. You don't want to be that guy that was like, you know what? I could have won the veto, but I threw it and I walked out.
Yeah, yes, but then you're making the argument of nobody should ever throw a competition.
No, because some of these people are 100% sure. Like Claire, for instance, knew she was 100% safe this week. No reason for her to win the veto.
Well, she's 100% safe because of a twist. I mean, I know. You're saying that somebody who
and
is
there are
not-
other people in the game who felt 100% safe regardless. They felt safe. You know what? I don't actually need to win this. Like, I know I'm good. Like, if somebody in the cookout was in this veto competition, if Aza was in there, I don't think she'd be like, I don't need to win this veto competition. I know Kyle's not putting me up.
Yeah, they both kind of know that, but I think even the player who thinks they're 100% safe, they're mostly being delusional because there's always that chance you go home. Derek was just saying that part.
I'm going to say this. The best players know. Now, we know that Kylan never would have put up Derek X. But given that Derek X is a recruit, doesn't have a lot of skin in the game, I'm willing to give him a pass. I understand your concern. I share your concern. But from his perspective, I guess I can see it.
So I see what both you guys are saying. I'll be like the middleman here. I guess you can call me Fincy Fincerton on this one because I agree with both of you and I disagree with both of you. I think that, yes, I don't believe he should have won that competition because I think it's putting that target on his back that he doesn't need, especially since he's already naive to this game, that it's just something he doesn't understand. So week after week, he's going to continue to try to win him if he's in that position. And from what we've seen, he'll do a damn good job and probably win most of the competitions he's in. Now, on the other side where
Stop there. You got everything right. You stop there.
The other side where I agree with Brent, it's he's not in the position of power. He's in a position where he has to do something to show his loyalty to that side of the house.
Yes.
So by him winning, it's showing that side of the house that, hey, you can trust me. Here's a little bit of, my cooperation with you. I can win this for you, and you guys can use me going forward to be that person to secure your nominations. So I see both sides. I'm torn, though. I think that I'm kind of right in the middle with you guys on that one.
I think he would serve that purpose so much better winning the next HOH, winning one of the next two. Now I think if he wins one of the next HOHs, oh my God, his target is just being like big red letters of, oh, please nominate me. Please nominate me.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. But I get what Brent is saying of, he doesn't know if he's 100% safe.
It's a tough spot for him.
An insane person, but like, at that point, if you're telling yourself you're 99.5% safe, which is just about as safe as you can feel in the Big Brother house, because he said the only reason he doesn't feel 100% safe is because it's Big Brother. That's what everybody would say, and I'm giving him credit for learning that.
Yeah.
But if you're at that level, especially when you won the week one veto, like back off a little. And But I do wonder if there was a competition where you could see how everybody else did, if he would do the same thing. That is what I'm curious about. Like if he knew
Kylan was going to win it, I think he definitely would have thrown it.
I hope he would. I still don't know if he would.
Yeah, he would have.
I would hope, but that's a lot of what I'm saying with Derek.
Kylan would have won it, right?
Kylan would have won.
Derek was at 441. Kylan was 454.
Yeah. Okay. And one last thing I want to add about this competition is, surprisingly, the person I thought who had the best strategy was Frenchie. He saw that the one sign said SPF 30. And he knew that that one was probably the one that was squirting out the most, suntan lotion.
Right.
And he went for that one. That's exactly, if I was there, that's what I would be looking for. Because there's always a hint in Big Brother. There's always some subtle hint as to which one is the one to go to in these kind of competitions. And he found that and was able to use that. He didn't win to his own detriment. And I thought that was by far the best strategy. What did you guys think?
Yeah, Frenchie was probably the best part of this comp for me. I actually wrote in my notes when he noticed the SPF. I'm like, wow, good job, Frenchie.
Right.
He's saying that, but then he's also holding the bucket horizontally and slipping and sliding on purpose so he can look cool. So what is it? Are you actually trying to win this comp like you should be and you want to make yourself look smart? or you're just trying to look good. And that's what he is. He just wants his cake and eat it too. When your game is on the line, just stop the charade. Just use everything you have to win this comp. Keep yourself in the game and then go and act your stupid master plan. You can't enact anything if you're on the block still. And then he had the line of, it was more slippery than a grease hole at a state fair. Like, what on earth is he saying?
Like, I think they fed him that one.
They fed him that for sure.
I just 100%. Like, but like, what is that? Like, either way, what is he saying? Like,
yeah.
Even if they fed it to him.
So. All right, so we get to the end of the competition. Derek X wins the competition, as we've alluded to. So next we see Frenchie. He is in a position where he's basically given up. He's basically saying, you know what, I'm done. Like, that was my last chance, and it's all over for me. Boo-hoo, it was me. Like, everyone feels sorry for me. And we see Derek F and Azza basically telling him, get your act together. This is your dream. You need to go in there and fight for it. Obviously, we know that's not really how Azza felt. Maybe Derek F, to an extent, felt like he wanted to help his, you know, ride or die, he says. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like this edit was very far-fetched to me.
I mean, Alex, they really yada yada'd it. But I feel like there's a reason for that, because I don't really feel like Frenchie gave them much to work with. There really hasn't been anything in the way of what I can say is substantive campaigning or strategizing on the part of Frenchie or any of his few allies on his team.
There's none. Yeah. There is absolutely none. And they stretched that thing as far as they could.
I concur.
Sure. Good job on that stretching, but like, I also was like looking at the time. We get to the like this post video discussion at 8:49. It is like no. So we had like I think 2 minutes of like legit conversation. It was just sad music for Frenchie. Oh, I'm going home. Oh, poor me. Derek F resurrects him with, oh my God, Frenchie, wake up because I'm into you and I need you to stay. So I have something nice to look at. Another thing to talk about later. I don't get Derek F, but beside the point. And I said, man, it's like Derek F is like trying harder than Frenchie, and then I'm like. And like Derek F convinces him to try for a couple minutes, and then he goes back to whining and feeling sorry.
Yeah, he's trying to have it both ways. I heard this on a different podcast. Like, he's trying to have it both ways, where he's trying to look like the martyr, and trying to look like he doesn't care, but he does care and he wants to stay, but he doesn't want to look like he's trying to stay and then fail. So he's trying to have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
And it's so infuriating to
he's
watch.
He's trying to use reverse psychology.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know it's maybe a deep pull, but he reminds me of like Richard Hatch playing Survivor All-Stars, of thinking like he's like the big target. He's so out there, but he also, and I know he was like, you know, he's playing hard to win that game. Even so, and then he gets voted out. He's like, I've been bamboozled and laughing and singing like, oh, I wasn't really trying. That is Frenchie, but this is a much better version of Frenchie.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, totally. So next he goes up to Derek X and to Kylan to give his last pitch as to why they should save him, throwing out that he's always going to be the bigger target. Why take it a bigger target in front of them? Honestly, wasn't a horrible pitch, because he does make some good points, but he's so far down the river, it's never going to happen.
It's just never going to happen.
It's because, not horrible, but I also think saying it's going to be us three against the other, what is it going to be, 11 people at that point? I'm sorry. Anybody thinks, oh, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's be this type three against 11.
Against 11. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like he said a couple of decent things of, oh, being loyal and all that, even though it's like him saying, oh, my brand is loyalty, when like, stop. Your brand is not loyalty from a hole in the wall. You don't know loyalty if it smacked you in the face 20 times. But it's like, I know they had like the, I'm really hoping this confessional was just fed to him of Derek X saying, oh, you know what, Frenchie makes good points.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
No, I mean, it better have been, obviously. Yeah. I'm almost certain it was, but just like the fact that they have to stretch this sword, like Frenchie, those, like, Frenchie, can you campaign a little bit better at all?
Oh, no, anything? Because I feel like a chump next to Brittany. Like, why didn't they put a real person up here that I could campaign against?
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't campaign against any. Like,
well, and that's the thing. I think you alluded to it completely correctly earlier, Brent, when you said that, you know, it would be a reasonable argument if you were someone that was at least playable with at all in this game, that wasn't a, you know, a crazy person going around spreading everything that they hear and see to everyone as soon as they hear and see it. And just going around and being delusional and being just worried about everything, then yes, you have an argument as to why you're a bigger threat and you should be staying in this game. And to someone like Kylan and Derek X, I think that could have been totally plausible had you not been this crazy person. So, yeah, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and the thing that he doesn't understand is that he can go to Derek X and Kylan and say, you know, hey, use me as a shield in the game. I'm somebody. I'm always going to go home before you. But what he doesn't understand is that if they then do that and save him, Frenchie then can go to other people and say, hey, when I was up in the HOH room, like I told Kylan and Derek X, like I'm always a shield. I'm going to go home before them. That's why they should keep me in the game. Totally pinning on them that that's how he stayed in the game, that he sold him out, and that that's why he did it. Like, he can sell them out in a heartbeat, and he has shown a propensity to do so, as he just did like 5 minutes ago with the Slaughterhouse.
If Frenchie had any like legit allies, and he can maybe say, you know what? Like, all right, like us three and look who I've got with us. All right, I've got this person, then you can at least come close to a majority, at least come close to say, here is something we can do.
And he had that, Alex. He had it, but he decided to just burn it.
He had Derek F, and that's it. Did he really have anybody else that's like, I feel like actually he had Brent
early on?
He had Brent and Whitney before he blew up.
Yeah, maybe before.
If he doesn't blow up, he at least has them.
If, but that's impossible for him. So why are we? But that's fiction. The scenario he's at, he has at most one ally, and he doesn't even try with that. Like, at least say 4-on-10. Like, 4-on-10. Like, anything to make your argument sound better.
I know.
Was just...
Yeah, we're spending more time on it than they did. Forgot.
Plain and simple, dead man walking. There you go. Yep. Craigster has it correct. He's done. So, All right. So then that's the end of the episode. Essentially, we get to the veto being not used, which I love that they didn't show, you know, oh, use a veto on me. Thank you. Thank you for not showing those.
No, nothing.
I kind of wanted Frenchie's speech, though. I did. If he said, I know if it was anything good, they would have shown. I just kind of wanted to see what is he going to say?
Was that the first time ever we've had them not show those?
No, they've done it plenty of times. They've not showed them before.
Because I just was like, whoa, they did not put that in there. He was just like, I have the choice to not use it. I'm not going to use it. Bye.
It's weird when
they choose to not use
it. I love that. Cut it out. We don't need it. Let's get more.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Cut it out. But yeah, if somebody gives you something good, show it. But like,
obviously, I think he probably said use it on Brittany. Like, he's such an idiot because he knows they're not going to use the veto. So like, I'm sure he's continued his facade of I was going to use it on you, Brittany. Blah 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 blah, which is total fucking lie. And I guarantee you, he's going to walk outside of this house again. It just dawned on me, he's going to be out here with us tomorrow. Oh my god, like he's going to be saying I would have used the veto on Brittany because I'm that loyal of a person.
For his own sake, just get off of Twitter. Get off Twitter. Go to your phone. Go to your wife and kids. Like, and let them get somebody who will have an honest conversation with you. Will tell you all the things you just actively fucked up, and be like, he needs to go on an apology tour. Like that's the first thing. But like, none of this is gonna serve him well.
Guys, we're getting the wrap tomorrow, so be ready for the wrap.
Oh god. God.
All right. So, you know, Julie Jen is gonna absolutely love it. So just Brittany, don't worry about a thing. Julie Jen's gonna love it. Don't worry about the millions of people out there watching. Julie Jen will love it.
How is Julie gonna talk to him? Like, I legit wonder how that's going to go.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I just
like
love
question,
it so
question,
much.
Question. So do you think that Julie Jen calls him out on any of his BS consistencies?
Oh, 100%.
100%. Oh, I think he called maybe on the game stuff a little bit, but is she going to bring up, like, oh, you said you nominate a woman? You didn't. No, I don't think she's going that far.
I mean, they showed it on the episode, though.
I think she will.
Yes, I still don't think she's going to bring it up, though. I think they want they made Frenchie look as good as they possibly could have personally, and I think they were trying to steer as far away from the controversy as they can. I don't think they bring it up.
That's fair.
I think they bring it up, and I think she calls him out on all his BS.
I honestly do. If Julie was a host who, like, I guess, like, had a was
cared.
Paying attention,
yeah, right,
and like had a little bit of power, I think they would. I think Julie's going to be fed the questions, and that's not going to be one of them.
Okay. Well, as we said, going into tomorrow, bitch. 12-0, 11-1, something like that. Frenchie's going home. There's not going to be any Magic America Saves campaign. Like, as I said, Frenchie was complaining. He was literally complaining to production that he better be brought back. He's already campaigning for a return season because
he doesn't want to come back
so
in this
much.
Season.
He gave so much to this season.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to stay in a hotel room for a couple weeks if there's a buyback.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was Doug. He was saying right here, the BB shrinks in the DR convinced Frenchie to not quit last night. And then also Frenchie complained he did not want to stay in a hotel room for a buyback. Yeah. So, but yeah, you want to come back and play again because you deserve it. Get the fuck out of here. Like, no, I'm sorry. No, I don't give a shit about you on my television
I don't give
screen.
A shit. Bye.
Get out of here. Girl, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's the end of the episode. That's it. We're going to see Frenchie probably inevitably out of this house and into the BB Twitter streets where he will get annihilated starting tomorrow night. People, don't make it personal. I hate when we see these house guests come out and people get ugly. It's a game. They put themselves in these positions. I understand that. But at the same time, it's a game, and these people have lives too, okay? They have people on the outside. Don't harass their families. Don't say anything like that. Don't go after their jobs. This is Frenchie. He played a terrible game, and he's out of the house. Enough said. Call him out on his BS, but don't go after his family and his job. Come on.
Help him learn what he did wrong.
Yes.
Like, hopefully he can become a little bit of a better person out of this too.
Completely agree.
Maybe. Well, that's the hope.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not either, but I'm saying it's a hope. It's like the best way I can try to look at it.
All right, guys. Anything else you want to talk about this episode before we get on out of here?
Alex, anything you want to say about this episode or anything beyond this week or anything about the season in general, bitch?
I mean, I can go all night. Just one little thing. I think it's so interesting to talk about the way the Tiffany and Kylan of it all, because I think Tiffany is playing almost as if she's HOH in a way with all the alliances she's making, all the deals she's making with everybody. And she's getting away with it, I think. It's so interesting that I think if you would, and I'm curious to see what she'd be like as HOH. Because I almost feel like she's like, what Kylan should be doing is what she is doing to a T. I think Kylan's playing a very good game, but I don't think it's like a winning game at all. It's like the, all right, it's good to stay for a while, but it's not the, almost the overdrive needed to win. But I think Tiffany is trying to play that game without being that HOH. And I'm slightly worried, like, oh, what, God forbid, Brent or Whitney wins HOH tomorrow. I think she's safe, but I worry about, like...
So, for my final piece, I'll just talk about this. That is a non-zero possibility, mainly because of the fact that so many people are supposedly throwing the competition tomorrow, that yes. Brent and Whitney, just by sheer numbers of people who are actually going for HOH, are facing fewer and fewer people. So I'm kind of concerned that so many people seem to be willing to throw the competition, giving Brent and Whitney ostensibly like a better chance to win. So we'll see.
Who else is throwing it?
I mean, it's too big to count at this point. But
honestly, I wouldn't mind a Brent win just in HOH because it would keep the drama going and it would probably build.
I think it would get rid of Brittany too. I think you would put up like Brittany. I know we wouldn't like the second nominee, like Brittany and Azza or Brittany and Claire.
Yeah.
And I know something wonky could happen if she wins the veto, Brittany, I'm talking about. But I'd love to see Brittany go home. I really would. Yeah. I really would. She's just so boring. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, God.
Get Brent out first, though, please.
Okay.
All right. I also love that the women today were saying we don't want him to make jury because he would make all the women uncomfortable. I'm just like,
I'm sorry.
Sarah Beth is apparently going for it. So
okay.
Let's see what happens.
I'm always hopeful that as we draw closer to Thursday, that people are like, what the fuck? I'll go for it. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I'm always, because I'd always go for it. So
I'd go for every week.
Yeah. If it's a comp where at least they can see how everybody else is doing, I just hope they see, okay, oh, maybe Brent and Whitney are doing well. All right, I need to win this even if I don't want to.
Yeah. I Derek X that shit every single time.
Right. Totally.
All right, guys. Where can people find you on social media? Alex?
I'm not on Twitter a ton, but I'm at Alex M. Rubino on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, perfect. And for you, cool. Brent?
You can always find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And tell me why I'm wrong.
And I'm at Good to Be Bobby. You can see it right here in the bottom left hand of my screen. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Alex, thank you for joining us. It's been excellent having you here. You've been such great entertainment for the show. We hope to have you on again in the future.
Love it.
Thank you so much. And yes, please check out the merch on NFSW, and also tell your friends and family to come check us out each and every Wednesday night here at Reality NFSW following the Wednesday episode. We'd love to have you guys and bring in everyone. We want to get as big as we can get. So once again, for Brent and for Alex, I'm Bobby Goodsby. We will see you guys next week.
The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. But you know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code SURVIVOR.
Brent, if you're paying attention right now, I know that you've probably had a mishap in the past and you've been trimming down there with not the tools for the job. Well, Brent, that's right. I'm talking to you. I have come to save you, but not just me. The folks at Manscaped. The world is starting to open up and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus two free gifts. What's that, you ask? Performance boxer briefs and the shed travel bag.
Talk about a world-class dismount into the post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. Wink, wink. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on off switch that you can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities.
Now, this package also comes with the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon. The weed whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motored 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped's also throwing in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0. That's the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag.
Now go right now to get 20% off and free shipping using promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in three flavors: wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
Bye.